First slide is our disclosure statement, no disclosures. Just a little bit of background about what the issue is that I'm talking about today. With the BRFSS, which probably most of you are familiar with, we do have core questions to identify disability. These are you limited in any way in any activities because of physical, mental, or emotional problems? Or do you now have any health problem that requires you to use special equipment such as a cane, a wheelchair, a special bed, or a special telephone? So using these questions, then, we can look at what the status is of people with disabilities, and I'm looking specifically at Arkansas data, with regard to chronic health conditions. And this graph, it's a bar graph. It shows the chronic health conditions of arthritis, asthma, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and diabetes. And if you'll notice, the red bar is people with disabilities, and they are 2 to 3 times higher. And I think this is consistent with across the United States in most states and the aggregated data for the nation as a whole. That's consistent with those kinds of results. If we look specifically at some risk factors like overweight and obesity status, this again is a bar graph comparing people with disabilities and those without along the lines of overweight and obesity. And what you'll see is that people with disabilities report much higher rates of obesity, 37% versus 25.5%. And then if we look at the leisure time physical activity participation during the past month, another bar graph shows that people with disability reported no leisure time physical activity participation at the rate of 47% versus 25%. And these things probably you guys have seen over and over if you've looked at any of the information that's on the CDC website, or if you've reviewed any of the information on a state level where you live. And we were looking at what the sampling procedure is, random phone surveys, landline phones, private residences. I believe they're changing that procedure to try to get access to cell phones now, I'm not sure. And then we considered, who do we miss? People who use English as a second language, who do not have landlines, who do not live in a private residence, or who cannot respond to a telephone survey. And this is important to us because our program specifically has a very close relationship with developmental disability organizations and care providers. And they're very interested in finding out what that specific demographic would show with regard to some of those health measures we looked at a moment ago, because they want us to help them tailor programs to deliver in their developmental disability service provider agencies. And we also co-sponsor a conference every year, and we have access to like a group of 700 people that come in and are looking for health information. The health sessions at those conferences are always the best attended. They want to know about physical activity. They want to know about nutrition. And we need to figure out, you know, how big the issue is and how we can adapt that information to best benefit them. And so what we looked at was this article by Finley and Lyons in Psychological Assessment in 2001, and what they did was they reviewed the literature on adapting questionnaires, self-report kind of questionnaires for people with cognitive impairments. They looked at the methodological issues and made suggestions for adaptation. Specifically, they looked at a qualitative methodology. They looked at quantitative studies and looked at different types of questions, what works, what doesn't. The development of instruments measuring specifically psychiatric symptoms, self-concept, and quality of life is what they looked at when they did the review. So we considered, when we were trying to adapt, we wanted to take the BRFSS as it is and make some sort of adaptation so that we can do systematic surveillance of that group of people that are looking for health information. So we looked at question content, question phrasing, and response format and scoring answers. Specifically on content, we looked at quantitative judgments and time questions, direct comparisons, socially reflexive questions, abstract concepts and generalized judgments, unfamiliar content, and sensitive content. Some of these are more relevant than others for the BRFSS. There are a lot of quantitative judgments and time questions. This is an example of a question from taken directly from the BRFSS that uses quantitative judgment and references to time. How long has it been since you last visited a doctor for a routine checkup? And it tells you a routine checkup is a general physical exam, not an exam for a specific injury or illness or condition. And then it gives you the options within the past year, the past 2 years, within the past 5 years, 5 years or more. And this is one that a person with a cognitive impairment would have a very difficult time with. Just the reading level is very high. It's a very long and complex question. And then it makes a lot of time references. So what we did was just a yes, no, don't know. And we'll get into the response format issues in just a minute. But we also used a board maker program. There are other picture making programs to use to try to help to make that a concrete idea as we were asking the question. Have you been to the dentist in the last year? Yes, no, or don't know. Do you have a doctor you go to when you need medical care? And then a clarification question, and to see if they could name what their doctor was, who their doctor was, or the clinic that they go to. Here's an example of direct comparisons. This is another one from the BRFSS. Within the past 12 months, when seeking health care, do you feel your experiences were worse than, the same as, or better than for people of other races? And then it gives you the options, worse than other races, the same as other races, better than other races, and then it shows you the ones not to read for people to volunteer. Again, it's a direct comparison of themselves with someone else, and they would probably have a hard time answering that. On socially reflexive questions, they're not typically used in the BRFSS, but they would include examples like, do people have trouble understanding what you say, or do people like to be with you? And when I was reviewing the Arkansas BRFSS, what we've used from 98 through 2007, we really didn't have any that would qualify as a socially reflexive question. Now, abstract concepts and generalized judgments are on there. How often do you get the social and emotional support you need? An abstract concept, what's social and emotional support? And then would you say that in general your health is excellent, very good, good, or fair? Again, a generalized kind of question. So we took the general out. Would you say that your health is good, okay, or poor? Tried to simplify the response set and took the generalized portion out. With sensitive content, sensitive content like alcoholic use or alcohol use. During the past 30 days, have you had at least one drink of any alcoholic beverage such as beer, wine, a malt beverage, or liquor? And you have yes, no, don't know, or refused. Now, for people with developmental disabilities, specifically the group that we're looking at who are in maybe supported housing or group homes, this is really frowned upon by the staff. And so this would be very sensitive content for an individual with a developmental disability that we were looking at. And then it goes on to clarify how many days per week or per month have you had at least one drink. But we wanted to find out because we saw that this was an issue. At the conference, we have a dance in the evening, and the alcohol is available for people to buy, and we see a lot of people binge drinking. And so we wanted to try to ask the question. We did use in order to try to clarify that multiple choice format, which is very hard in terms of a response format, we did use BoardMaker again to show them what that would mean. Question phrasing, negative worded questions and modifiers, and then subject-object confusion and passive phrasing and giving examples. This is one that's negatively worded, from taken directly from the BRFSS. Now, thinking about your physical health, which includes physical illness and injury, for how many days during the past 30 days was your physical health not good? And so it's that putting in the not good part that negatively worded. We wanted to find out, you know, we wanted to see if we could use a negatively worded question. And so we tried it like this. We tried to clarify with the board maker again, how many days during the last week did you just not feel like doing your normal activities? This tanked. This really confused people, and we really had a hard time. I just don't use negatively worded questions. Subject, object, confusion, and passive phrasing. Do you think you should be careful with things that do not belong to you, or do you think you should blame other people when you do something wrong? We really didn't use that. Now, with response format and scoring answers, every kind of response format will have its specific pitfalls, I guess. And we looked at yes-no questions and the tendency to say yes, particularly among this group of people. The complexity of multiple choice formats, you know, we have so many options, and then when you're doing, and you typically, because they're not readers, you're doing a face-to-face interview, and that gets to be a very long list of options. And so anyone who's doing a multiple choice format, even when it's read to them, even if they have normal cognitive functioning, would have, oh no, 5 minutes. Okay. So multiple choice formats are difficult. Open-ended questions can be good to get at the answer, but they can be difficult to score. And then you sometimes get answers that appear irrelevant. So this is an example of yes-no question and acquiescence. Have you ever smoked? Yes, no, don't know. Then we used an open-ended one. How many cigarettes do you smoke in a day? And then have you tried quit smoking in the past year? Another multiple choice, how often in a week do you exercise? So we tried the multiple choice. We tried to clarify again with the board maker to show them how that looked on a week. We were doing the face-to-face interview, but we also had the tool right in front of us so we could show them. And then we wanted to give them an open-ended opportunity to clarify whether they were understanding the question, to give them an opportunity to specify what kinds of exercise they participated in. And this is an example of how we tried to get at some of the chronic conditions. We did a little picture up there to try to give some kind of description pictorially. And then when your blood pressure is taken, a cuff is put around your arm and gets tighter as the nurse pumps it up to give them a reminder of what that is. Have you ever been told that you have high blood pressure? Yes, no, don't know. Have you had your blood pressure checked in the last week? Yes, no, don't know. Has anyone helped you to know what to do about your high blood pressure? And then who helped you and what kinds of things did they tell you to do? So, and we went through this with several of the chronic health conditions. We used face-to-face interviews, professionals experienced in working with people with cognitive disabilities. These were collected at service provider agencies, and the data collectors were trained to indicate validity concerns on the survey as they were completing the survey with the individuals. We collected from 155 individuals with cognitive disabilities, receiving day service as a local disability provider agency. There were 87 female respondents, 67 male, all of them ages 18 and older. BMI results, we can say for sure, we did measure those, height and weight. We didn't ask for height and weight. And these are consistent with what Dr. Rimmer and many others, I think, in the room have been involved in research regarding the obesity levels among people with developmental disabilities. That's consistent with that research. 23% reported having ever smoked. 8% tried to quit smoking in the past year. 27% report having been told they have depression or anxiety. 71% indicated at least one chronic health condition. 44% reported more than one, so comorbidities. And those included high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, arthritis, asthma, cancer, heart attack, and stroke. Now, you always get to questions of validity when you're doing interviews with people with developmental disabilities or cognitive impairments specifically. And there's a lot of work that could still be done regarding how to use this and that would have to be done before it could be used consistently as a surveillance instrument. But we looked at validity and reliability of the reporter, and it was questioned for individual items in 22 of the surveys, so 14% of respondents. 16% of respondents were rated by interviewers to have an invalid questionnaire overall, like they didn't understand any of the questionnaire. And so we left those out of the analysis. So we need to get the promotion materials out there. A lot of the ideas that we used in adapting the surveillance tool would be used in adapting the health promotion information for that group. Use fewer words. You don't need so many words. Use concrete concepts, incorporate pictures that show diversity, offer alternative formats, and use simple illustrations like Board Maker or other picture making program. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.